Okay, marvellous. So if you were with us last week, we had our testimony service where we heard from folk about where they'd seen God at work during 2024. And it was a really encouraging opportunity, and just from me, a big thank you to all who shared last week. And maybe perhaps a little more in passing, but it was mentioned last week, our verse of the year for last year, which is, as I hope you'll all know, I was going to ask you all to quote it, but I won't. It's Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And I chose to use this verse last year, and it inspired our service themes throughout the year. And I hope that's been a really helpful sort of theme to pick up on. But I hope that it will, that now we've got sort of 2025, it's not a case of, okay, we've done that, move on to something else. I will continue to kind of dig into God's word and allow his wisdom to kind of speak and direct, even as we move on to a new verse, because it is now 2025, so we have a new verse of the year. Taken from the message, walk with me and work with me, watch how I do it, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. But as we did last year, we didn't just take one verse out of context. We looked at where it landed in, particularly in that very long Psalm 119. So I'm going to read this, the whole where this comes in, the little section in context, in taken from the message, because it is we've heard from the message. And do you know what other version did you read from? The NIV. Well, we'll hear these verses firstly from the message, and then for our choice will be the NLT, which is the New Living Translation. So in the context, let's read it. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And the message is was written by Eugene Peterson, if you don't know. That's a paraphrase, which basically means it's not an exact translation. It's the same text, but in different words, without losing the meaning of the text itself. But I would suggest it's perhaps not your best choice for biblical studies. But while that's the case, it can be really helpful in giving a fresh perspective in different understanding of the language of the Bible. And for me, it brings out three words that we'll focus on throughout this year: walk, work, and watch. So they're really easy, WWW, like remember, beginning of your World Wide Web, walk, work, watch, and we'll kind of unpack a bit more as we go through this year, themes around that. But as I said, the message is a paraphrase, so we're going to hear these verses again from the New Living Translation, with a dramatic mic drop. I didn't do that. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. So during the latter part of last year, God repeatedly drew my attention to these verses. They popped up in random Bible things I was looking at, verses on just suddenly appearing, you know, in the Facebook feed and other areas. And they've really underpinned my thinking about my upcoming sabbatical. Rest assured, I've had a couple of people ask me already. I'm not going till April. We've got a few months yet, but I've had to do some planning, because you don't just suddenly kind of, you know, you need to think through what you're going to do with 3 months. So these verses have really given me a theme and a framework for what I'll be doing and thinking about. But the thing is once I figured out that my sabbatical would be landing after we'd had like a couple of years of us walking together, God like also put into my mind that this would be an ideal opportunity for us both to seek his guidance and leading together but apart. Kind of like two paths in sort of parallel. That was the best I could do. I didn't quite want straight paths, because I thought we're not doing exactly the same thing. But this sense of us, we're taking a bit of a divergence in a way away from each other, but we're still walking together just separately. So my plan is to do some reflecting while I'm on sabbatical, but inviting you as a church family to do the same. But also individually, and bring in your thinking to conversations and opportunities there'll be while I'm on sabbatical. And what we're going to be thinking about is kind of what God is calling us to be doing next. We've got this far, thus far, as we talked about, thus far as God has been with us, and now what? So that's why we'll be focusing on the same verses as individually and together. But particularly also because I think they also lead rather nicely on from last year, because we were looking at the path. We were looking at God's word illuminating the way forward. So in these verses, there's a similar sort of sense of movement, of journeying forwards. And my hope is that we will know God's guidance and leading as we discern together what it is that we feel he's calling us to be doing. So therein lies the challenge, as I said, to keep being committed to God's word, to drawing closer to him and seeking his heart as the weeks of this year unfold. So we're going to spend over the next 3 weeks looking at more closely at these key words, the walk, work, watch. So today's word, having introduced, that's where it's coming from, is walk. Walk with me. What might Jesus be inviting us, his disciples, in what ways might he be inviting us to walk with him? Now the phrase walk with me in the Peterson is how Peterson rephrased take my yoke. Now, yoke is not an everyday word, and I use a number of different image sites to make sure I'm using kind of copyright free and all the rest of it to make sure nobody sues us as a church. And I looked up the word yoke. I wasn't impressed. That's not what I meant at all. So I tried a different site. I'm still not sure why there are sweet sprinkles on a fried egg, but, you know, each to their own. It was only when I got to the third website that I got what I was expecting. That's the kind of yolk I'm thinking of, not a yolk of an egg. It would be a very different verse if we were thinking about eggs. Sorry, Steve, are you there a minute? Has he disappeared? Hang on a minute. No, he's gone down all the time. Do excuse me, I need to stop off. I'm going to take that off for a second. Sorry. Do apologise. Just when I need him, he's not there on the sound. Anyway, never mind. At least I haven't deafened you by coughing. So the kind of yoke we're thinking about refers to this kind of hardness, typically a wooden frame used to join two animals together to pull a heavy load. And it's fastened over their necks and attached to the cart or the load or the plough they're going to pull. It was the best picture I could find of... I feel sorry for the cows with their muzzles on. I don't know what they're going to do, but never mind. In the Bible, the word yoke is used in a few different ways, sometimes referring to this piece of equipment linked to the idea of teamwork and cooperation, but it was also used to symbolise oppression and slavery. And just to pick up one example, because there are probably quite a few, in Deuteronomy 28, God warns his people that if they're disobedient, then he will put a yoke of iron on their necks. Now, a wooden yoke is one thing, an iron yoke is a very different thing altogether. It's not a very pleasant prospect. But in these verses in Matthew, Jesus uses the image of a yoke to describe the relationship between himself and his followers. It represents the commitment of discipleship, that sense of us being joined to him and walking together. Walking together with a purpose, walking together and doing a role and a job together. You see, elsewhere, all the way, I mean, again, threaded through Scripture, we find the encouragement to walk in God's ways. We've always been called to walk in obedience, to be careful how we live and to walk faithfully. And as I say, we thought about that last year as we thought about the Bible as our roadmap, our guidebook, illuminating the path for where our feet are to go and giving us guidance to keep faithful to God. To walk in God's ways is to kind of describes a lifestyle of daily seeking to know God and to live in obedience to his will. Desiring to know his heart and continually pursuing a relationship with him that's ever deepening. We should never, ever get to a point where we are satisfied with where we're at with God. We should never get to a point where we just become complacent. As a minister of mine once said a few years ago, and this is something that's stuck with me, our journey with God is a bit like travelling a spiral with God at the centre. And if we're not moving towards God, then the likelihood is that we're moving away. It's not a linear journey with God. It kind of spirals round and round. And the idea is that we get closer and closer to God. It's really unlikely that we would ever get to a point in our journeys with God that we hit something quite static. We're either moving towards him or we're moving away. Now, I couldn't get a spiral that was wiggly, because I would have liked a wiggly spiral to indicate that as we walk, we kind of sometimes go in and out on our journey. We can still be going in a general direction towards God, but still wiggle in and out all the opposite way. But I think a question for ourselves, is, perhaps as the beginning of a new year, as we start this new theme, is to ask ourselves, in what direction are we travelling? Do you think you're heading or moving towards God, or are we moving away? And are you happy with that trajectory? And if you're not, what can you do about it? You see, what are the things in our lives that are helping us to walk closely with Jesus? And what are not? Are there things that we might need to change? You see, the thing is, when we first step into relationship with God, it is just that, it's a relationship. But a relationship with God is very different to fellowship with God. When we make that first commitment and we receive Jesus as our Saviour, we stand in relationship with God in Christ because of what Jesus has done. It makes us children of God and heirs to the kingdom. And because of what God has done for me, for you, for all of us through Christ on the cross, this stands eternally. But that relationship, that point of start, needs to move beyond into fellowship, friendship, if you like. Because that's how our lives are changed. How we become more Christ-like by walking with him. And clearly in Jesus, we have the perfect example of this, because we know that Jesus walked in the ways of his Father. He showed us how to do the same. And he invites us to walk with him. He wants to be in fellowship, in friendship with us. John 15:15 says this, "I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me." God wants our relationship to go beyond that initial commitment, beyond that guarantee that we have, we've been given in grace through Christ. He longs to be friends with us. But as we well know in life, relationships are often difficult. Fellowship can be all too easily broken. And we can become estranged and distant in families, in partnerships, in friendships. So I wonder, have we allowed that to happen between us and God? Are we consciously walking with God, or are we feeling more estranged from him? Are we trying to do life without being in close relationship with him? In Colossians 2, Paul encourages us by writing this, "Just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him." Continue, an ongoing, active process. But I guess sometimes it's easier said than done, that intentional act of walking with Jesus. I don't know. I don't know how many people are fans of going on walks with people. If you go on a walk with someone or in a group, you have to make an effort to stay with those you're walking with. If you rush ahead or lag behind or give up altogether, just kind of, oh, there's a park bench, I'll sit on that, and they carry on, you know, you're not walking together at all. If we are yoked together with Jesus, we have to stay in step with him, not rushing or lagging or wandering off. But the trouble is, it's too easy to fall out of step with Jesus and live out of sync. Maybe we've decided this yoke thing is not for us. We've kind of taken it off, or we're not imagining ourselves wearing it. We've perhaps avoided or neglected our friendship with God. Perhaps we've got out of the habit of intentionally walking together with him. Maybe another partner to walk with has taken that his place. Maybe we just need to be honest, we're just not feeling it. But the reality is, we need to rectify that. If we're in that position where we don't feel like we're in step with him, we need to do something about it, because otherwise we're settling for a life that is a pale imitation of what it could be and who we could become, through journeying closely with Jesus? Are we prepared to accept living a life that isn't lived to the fullness, that isn't lived as God intended it to be? What might we need to do or remember to motivate ourselves to get back to walking faithfully in step with Jesus? I wonder if a good place to start might be to think right back, or more recently, to the time when you first made a conscious decision to accept Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Now, I know for some of us that it's a particular moment in time, for some of us it's over a period of time, but think back to that time, whether it's a moment or an extended time. Remind yourself how your journey with Jesus actually began. That's important. It's where our walk with him started. So who or what inspired you to begin that walk? And then perhaps think, whether it's a short time or a long time since that moment, why are you still walking with Jesus? What is it that keeps you going? What is it that keeps you in relationship with him? It's really important to look back sometimes, to take stock and kind of reflect on our journey so far, because that in a way can act as an encouragement to us to keep going. And to consider, because if we're professing to be people of faith, we need Jesus to continue to be the one who establishes our values, guides our thinking and directs our conduct, directs what we do and what we say. Yes, walking with Jesus is us living our lives, but knowing that as we do what we do, as we go out to work, as we visit friends, as we are at home, whatever it is, we do it with him. A few examples. When we're at work, we intentionally decide not to join in with bringing someone else down. In fact, we intentionally stand to defend them and to support them. It might be going to a sports match, but not swearing or shouting at the ref. It might be choosing to not watch that program or that film because we know it will fill our minds with negativity or wrong thinking. It might be choosing to not spend hours scrolling through our phones with our mind full of cat videos and goodness knows what else, instead of things that are of value. And perhaps most importantly, asking ourselves the question, what kind of a Christian am I when no one is looking? Because if we choose to walk with Jesus, it's an all day, every day, every part of us thing. And that even means the times when we're on our own. We need to remember that as Christians, we do the entirety of our lives with Jesus. And to do that well, we need to nurture our faith, no matter how long ago or how recently our journeys began. So how are we nurturing our walk with Jesus? Are we investing in it? Are we taking time to make it a priority? Or are we just drifting? For our walk with God to grow in intimacy and understanding, we need to read Scripture, which is what we focused on last year. And while I feel, I did wrestle with this week, because I feel like it was God saying Bible, and so the other things that will come up in a minute, again, and I'm like, but we've said this, we know this, right? But God went, no, keep going. I can't stress the importance of his word enough. Because I think if God keeps drawing me back to this, to share about this, then I reckon he also thinks it's really important. But as Dionne reminded us last week in her personal testimony, we need to go beyond just reading Scripture. We need to commit God's word to heart and mind, so that when we are in the tough situations, he can bring verses to mind. And if we've not spent time doing this, then those verses are just simply not going to be there. And we won't know God well if we don't read what he's written. We need to saturate all of our lives, our hearts, our souls with God's word, because that will see our walk with God become richer and deeper. We know in Hebrews that the writer there tells that God's word is active and alive. It's not some dusty old book on the shelf. It's God's living word to us. So don't let your Bible become a dusty ornament, or ever get a notification on your phone that your Bible app has had its permissions removed because you haven't accessed it. That's the equivalent of a dusty Bible, I reckon. We need to allow, and then when we focus on God's word, we need to allow that to lead us into prayer, into conversation with God about what it is that we sense he's saying to us. You see, developing our friendship with God involves communication. Fellowship is deeper than relationship because it's about sharing together. Last year we thought about God's word being God's love letter to us, inviting us into fellowship. So what are we doing? It's not one-sided. It's not all God's love to us. It's a mutual meeting of hearts and minds, and for that is communication is key. Our prayer should be dialogue, two-way conversation about what we have to say to God, but yes, about what God has to say to us. So are we being intentional about this? Or are the days just going by without much chat going on between us and God? We go Sunday by Sunday with not much in between. And then something else to think about are our boundaries. Scripture tells us that as people of faith, we need to stay alert because we can all too easily become distracted from our faith. So are we filling up our time with things that are distracting us from our walk with God or not even honouring to him? We need to be honest with ourselves about those areas of lives where we give in to temptation more easily. Places or situations where we allow our minds and hearts to dwell, or perhaps even where we allow ourselves physically to go, that we know are not of God. And maybe it's not just about what we're thinking or doing, it's about who we're spending our time with. Maybe there are things that are causing us too much stress or leading us away from God or wasting our time. We need to be honest about with ourselves about when it's time to remove something or even someone from our lives. Because we need to be real about what is helping us to walk more closely with God rather than pulling us away. So is there anything that we need to be giving up? And do we need help or support with us? With this, because we are not doing faith on our own. We are here this morning because we are a family of God. It's not everybody is here. We come and go from this, but we are part of a family. And part of that journeying together is being accountable to one another. It's praying with and for one another. It's challenging one another. It's being a listening ear. It's offering guidance from our own walk with God. As I said, I think we know these things. We know these are key to our discipleship walk with God, but somehow we can allow them to get shifted down the priority list. We can forget about them altogether rather than being conscious choices and daily decisions. And that brings us back to being yoked with Jesus. Like I found pictures of eggs I couldn't actually find, which didn't really help me. I couldn't find an image of someone actually yoked with Jesus that I could show this morning. So I chose a few different images of people walking together. And I'm hoping that one might resonate with you about your walk with Jesus, what it might look like at the moment. You see, Jesus is answer to life, all aspects of it, the good, the tough, the rough, the special, the difficult, the easy, the fun. It's to do it with him. To join under a yoke and to walk beside him, because that will lead us to places where we will flourish. Jesus said his yoke is easy because it is well fitting. And in order for a pair of oxen to do their work well, they have their yokes custom fitted. So the same for us. Jesus offers us a yoke that is custom fit for us personally, so that in partnership with him and with the work of the Holy Spirit, we can fulfill God's greatest purposes for us. But to be able to do that, we need to know Jesus and we need to know his teaching, because that is what will equip us to live most effectively, to live out God's will in the way life was designed to be led. You see, Jesus' discipleship is not an oppressive burden like that imposed by the Pharisees of following the law in minute detail. And in joining with Jesus, we're not released from burdens. In fact, we join with Jesus to do a job that's probably quite hard work. But Jesus didn't escape any of the burdens of human life in his incarnation. He faced the issues of illness and calamity and tragedy and loss. And all those things, we have to be honest about, they'll remain part of a fallen world until the final renewal. But those who walk in the kingdom of heaven alongside Jesus have the promise of his sustaining help as we carry his yoke of discipleship. But to benefit from that, we need to come to him. We need to take on that spiritual yoke and learning to walk in step, being intentional about our relationship. And remembering that as people of faith, we are not actually free to go our own way. We are called to a life of constantly sensing where the Spirit wants us to go and then helping with the work. So how's your walk of faith going? We'll take stock in a moment to pause and reflect on our journey so far. Are we headed in the right direction? Is Jesus leading us? Or have we taken back the reins? Are we feeling like we're a bit more in control? We know we were created to be in relationship with God, to lead us into fellowship with him and doing life with him. It was never intended for us to do life on our own. So my urging as we begin this year is walk with him. Walk with him today. What does that look like for you today? Walk with him this week. Walk with him as life unfolds throughout this year. Because that's where we will find the kind of rest that is talked about at the end of these verses. As we take the yoke alongside the one who promises to walk with us every step of the way. So let's take a few moments to reflect on that and come before God. I'm going to read a couple of verses and then we're going to listen to a song that invites us to consider our walk with God. I'm going to step down at that point, and then there'll be a few moments of quiet once that song is finished for you to do whatever business you need to do with God. And then at an opportune moment, the band will return and lead us in our final song together.